The first reading comes from Genesis chapter 32. But during the night he got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He got them safely across the brook along with all the possessions. But Jacob stayed behind by himself, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he couldn't get the best of Jacob as they wrestled, he deliberately threw Jacob's hip out of joint. The man said, "Let me go, it's daybreak." Jacob said, "I'm not letting you go till you bless me." The man said, "What's your name?" He answered, "Jacob." The man said, "But no longer. Your name is no longer Jacob. From now on, it's Israel. You've wrestled with God and you've come through." Jacob asked, "And what's your name?" The man said, "Why do you want to know my name?" And then, right then and there, he blessed him. Jacob named the place Peniel, because he said, "I saw God face to face and lived to tell the story." The sun came up as he left Peniel, limping because of his hip. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. Jesus said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, 'My rights are being violated. Protect me.' This judge never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding.' Then the master said, 'Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, as Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, and as Holy Spirit, who gathers and inspires us for mission and ministry. In Luke's gospel, Jesus constantly teaches while he's traveling on his way to Jerusalem. And Jesus' usual teaching method is to tell a parable. Today we hear a parable about the interaction between a widow and an unjust judge. This widow seeks justice and demands justice in her dealing with this unjust judge, who is described as having no respect for any person and no fear of God. In other words, this widow is dealing with a judge who rarely, if ever, grants justice for any person. The odds are stacked against this widow. Simultaneously, keep in mind that a widow in Jesus' time was a woman who lacked power, who lacked finances, who lacked the resources to fight a case for justice against an unjust judge. And you notice she has no attorney. In other words, the widow faces what appears to be insurmountable odds and will probably lose her case. So in dealing with this unjust judge, this widow decides that she must be determined, persistent, and relentless in her demands for justice. She hangs in there. She resorts to being constantly in the judge's face and is a pain as she relates to this unjust judge. The widow visualizes justice. She breathes justice. She wants justice. Justice and her well-being motivate this widow to be very, very persistent. Eventually, this unjust judge relents and grants justice for this widow. Now, Jesus lifts up this widow as an example of persistence and of not losing heart in the face of a difficult and very challenging situation. And like the widow, we too deal with difficult and challenging situations. We live in a world where, well, let's admit it, life isn't easy. We live in the midst of injustices where life isn't fair. We know of people who hurt people, or we've seen it in the news. Relationships are being broken daily. We deal with leaders who don't work for the common good of the people of this nation or people of the world. Armed conflict and violence permeates the world around us. Discrimination, justice, and hate. We think it's gone, but really continues to divide people. People who are poor, hungry, and homeless are still with us, and I can go on and on with a litany of what's wrong with the world and the injustices of the world around us. We live in a world where it is a challenge to even be disciples of Jesus Christ. It isn't easy to be a Christian in today's world, or has it ever been easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Transformation and change can be difficult. I mean, it's difficult enough to change ourselves, right? And then simultaneously, we're trying to change other people or change institutions or change the society around us because we want something better for us, but also for our children and our children's children. But then simultaneously, Christians have this tendency to be our own worst enemies. And I have to go through a whole litany of what Christians through history, and especially Christians in our own nation, do to make us look bad? A couple of Sundays ago, you may recall that I shared with you my story of moving to a place named Chicago to serve as the new director for Asian ministries. In other words, I was a parish pastor, I'll admit it, faking it as a church bureaucrat. You may also recall that I had a very difficult first month, that first January. I mean, it was a very cold Chicago winter. The challenge of developing a new Asian ministries program for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America from scratch and had to be done by the end of the month. And then the then Secretary of Education, William Bennett, announced that the worst public school system in the entire nation is the Chicago public schools. By the end of January, I wrestled with God and was asking for more faith. My family and I lived in Chicago for almost, get this, 8 years. How did a family from California and Arizona persist and do this? Well, first of all, we looked for what the best that Chicago had to offer, and we discovered that Chicago was a more livable city than we imagined, even though there are so many immigrants that Chicago produces for the rest of the nation. And though I'll admit we never got used to Chicago winters. And even though the Chicago public schools had many problems, we discovered that it had a wonderful program known as Regional Gifted Centers. Who would have thought? One of these Regional Gifted Centers was located in our neighborhood, and our daughters were able to qualify for admission and received a wonderful education. What was foundational for our persistence in staying in Chicago and remaining on the churchwide staff of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America was the fact that, well, we caught a vision of God's kingdom, and we were, shall we say, on a mission for God. Keep in mind that I was called to serve as the director for Asian ministries in a newly formed unit that had never existed before in the Lutheran Church, known as the Commission for Multicultural Ministries. And our task was to, well, transform the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to be more colorful, shall we say, more multicultural, to have more people, shall we say, like me, okay? And then I also recalled that I stood on the shoulders of Asian Lutheran pastors who were my elders, H.E. Matsushita, Paul Nakamura, Sam Uje, Joseph Wong, Wilson Wu, Edmund Yee, and the list goes on of all the generation of Asian pastors that have gone before me to serve in the ministry of the Lutheran Church. But then, you know, while also dealing with the reality that the Evangelical Lutheran Church at that time, was over 98% white and was the whitest church body in the United States. So, but I was there on a mission because God called me, sent me, and we are to build a church for my children and their children and their children's children, and to build a church that welcomes all people. That is why we stayed in Chicago, and my wife reminded me, now what's God calling you to be about, Bill? And I said, go back to California. No, right? This is why we persisted and why we hung in there and why we kept on keeping on. And when I think about persistence in the church, I can easily recall Jesus' disciples hanging in there, and they kept on keeping on because they experienced the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, experienced the transforming of power of God's love, and received a vision and a mission to share Jesus with the rest of the world, and they did. There's still a church. Or Martin Luther hanging in there, and he kept on keeping on because he experienced God's grace and received a vision and mission to reform the church of his day, to remind them that we are saved by God's grace and not by dollars, or we can't buy salvation. And so therefore he said, let's stop selling indulgences, let's trust and have faith in Jesus Christ. Or Martin Luther King Jr. hanging in there, and he kept on keeping on because he heard the cries and suffering of his people and the people of the nation, and received the vision and mission for peace, racial equality, and justice in our nation. Or Mother Teresa, little Mother Teresa, hanging in there, and she kept on keeping on. Who would have thought she would start an order, you know? Because she experienced God's love and received a vision and a mission to love the dying and destitute of Calcutta, and really, by extension, the world, which became her mission to the world. Vision and mission feeds persistence among us. Do you see God's vision and mission for this congregation? Do you see God's vision and mission for you yourself? There are already glimpses of God's vision and mission for Peace Lutheran Church, and you have an opportunity to talk a little bit about that in terms of what the council thinks in terms of goals for the next year or so. Oh, guess what? I'm missing a page. Ah, I have trust. I found it. Yeah, God's vision and mission for this congregation, it revolves around ministry and outreach to mature and older adults. And you thought it was something else, didn't you? Or fellowship, hospitality and welcoming people, or support and care of people who are homeless, hungry, through the Booth Family Center, Interfaith Food Ministry, Habitat for Humanity, and Hospitality House, and wherever else you can connect with folks. Around us is a rich mission field. The surrounding neighborhood is filled with mission opportunities. So what catches your attention personally? Maybe you want to help older and mature adults also. Or you want to improve relationships between law enforcement and the community, or other groups in the community. Or you want to build up the neighborhood. Or you want to tutor children. Or you want to deal with climate change. Or you want to improve services for homeless persons. Or you want to help immigrants and refugees. And the list goes on in terms of the possibilities of what each of us can do individually, depending upon what our gifts are and what we have a sense that God is calling us to be about. And it could be something small, it could be something big, it could be something that's earth-shattering, or it could be as simple as making a phone call to a person that you haven't seen in a while and you're wondering, how are they? Whatever you sense and can see that what God has in mind for you, do it and be persistent. We're not here to be half, do it halfway. I mean, that's not what we're about. We're here because we're here to throw our entire selves into whatever we commit ourselves to as followers of Jesus Christ. Changing a congregation, changing the neighborhood takes time. So we need to act, and we need to be persistent, and we need to have others work with us so we can do it together. Much like the widow in today's parable, faith over the long haul and persistence are needed. That's what it's about. There's no such thing as a short-term commitment to this church. There's no such thing as a short-term commitment to Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as short-term if one wants to be a Christian. We're in it for life. And no one can say that I'm too old to do that. That's not how it works, folks. I know that I see a lot of age out here, and that's fine. I think it's good to get older, but simultaneously, we make adjustments and we keep on keeping on. That's what it is. I mean, we live until we die, and the promise is resurrection, so let's keep going on. This transition time between permanent and settled pastors is a time for everyone to commit themselves to hang in there with God and to hang in there with Peace Lutheran Church and to hang in there together. We're in this together. Now is the time to be persistent. Now is the time to come and to be together a congregation in this area known as Grass Valley and Nevada City and Nevada County and really throughout the world. And I want to emphasize being persistent and hanging in there. Keep in mind that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America continues to be the whitest church body in the United States. It's not a proud thing, but then that's the reality. And I find it fascinating we don't talk about why. Have you ever thought about why this church body is? I've thought about it, but it's something we need to think. And I want to emphasize that I am still here. You know how many offers I've received from other colleagues or other church bodies thinking, how would you like to come to our place? Because we're more colorful than the ELCA. Think about that. Now, I may have my disagreements with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. However, I have not left the ELCA, nor do I plan to leave the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I disagree with my colleagues who left the ELCA when a vote was taken in 2009. I thought that that was not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. I'm still here. I'm still here to build a church for my children, for their children, and for future generations. And I urge you to do likewise, especially in preparing for the arrival of a new and settled pastor. We're in this together through thick and thin, and bailing out is not the option. Did Jesus bail out on us? Think about that. Has God bailed out on us? Because I am still here because Jesus paid a price and literally hung in there with us. Jesus is persistent in making known the kingdom of God to us and for the world. Jesus is persistent in his love for us and in being God's expression of grace. Jesus is persistent in offering forgiveness, mercy, and reconciliation. Jesus is persistent in bringing people together. You know, he literally died to bring people together. So what makes us think that we know better than Jesus to tear it all apart? That's not what we're about. You know, I'm tired of people tearing apart our nation. And that, so we have to be the ones to say, wait a minute, that's not what this is all about. We're here to be together, to work together, to be God's people together, to be a sign that it's possible for people to work together. Because if we don't, what are the other options? They're not good, in my opinion. Jesus is persistent in bringing people together to form community. The writer of Psalm 121 said it well about God's persistence of hanging in there. You know, the writer of Psalm 121 wrote, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep. Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and get the punchline, forevermore, always. Until the end of time, until we all die and rise, until whatever the end is, the Lord will be there forevermore. God is persistent in helping us, caring for us, protecting us, and watching over us. God hangs in there with us, and we hang in there with God. So what will be our response to Jesus' persistence? I mean, isn't that one of the questions that we need to tackle constantly in our lives? So be persistent in your commitment to Jesus, to Peace Lutheran Church, and to each other. Be persistent in your efforts for reconciliation, peace, love, justice, care, and for changing the world around us. God's vision and mission for this congregation and for you demands no less from us. Amen.